Welcome to Wine Country BC, taking you beyond the guided tour of wine in British Columbia. This week on the podcast, interviews from the trade tasting on Friday morning at the Wine Bloggers Conference 2012 in Portland, Oregon. Welcome to Wine Country BC. My name is Luke, and we are taking you beyond the guided tour of wine in British Columbia. Check us out online at winecountrybc.ca. You can also follow us on Twitter at winecountrybc, and we're also on Facebook as well, and probably a few other things that I've forgotten because I don't remember the password. Anyways, this is a very special podcast that has interviews from the Friday night trade tasting, the Friday morning trade tasting at the 5th annual Wine Bloggers Conference, in which took place this year in Portland, Oregon, which is a fabulous city. I hadn't had any time to experience Portland at all before this, and I'm really glad I did. It was absolutely tons of fun. Lots of things happened at this event, and it was actually a really, really well done, I thought anyways, a really well done event and a conference that lasted from about Thursday. The first official thing, I think, was the Oregon Wine Board had a whole tasting room set up in the ballroom, and it was a fabulous chance to try all of the things that makes wine in Oregon so interesting, including lots and lots of Pinot Noir. It was quite amazing. I totally enjoyed that. And boy, Pinot Noir is done well in Portland, in Oregon, not in Portland. They don't grow any, well, I don't know, maybe somebody grows Pinot Noir in Portland, but certainly most of it comes from the vineyards outside in the Willamette Valley. And also, as I found out, and you'll find out in another podcast later, in the Columbia River Valley and the Hood River Valley. So on with the podcast. You'll hear a whole bunch of people here on this. I actually managed to find some Canadians as well, some from BC. BC bloggers were there. There were quite a few people from BC there, which was quite amazing. But not so amazing when you think that the 2013 Wine Bloggers Conference will be here in Penticton, British Columbia, in the Okanagan Valley. So if you are a wine blogger in British Columbia or even in Canada, I really, really urge you to try and come out to this event, which is going to be in Penticton next year. It is going to be tons of fun. And for my American friends who are coming up and bloggers who are coming up from the United States, it'll be a welcome treat. I really hope you enjoy it next year. But that is next year. This is this year. So have a listen to some of the people that I chatted with at the start of the 2012 Wine Bloggers Conference in Portland. Cheers from Wine Country.
Helena Kramer, and I'm from the San Francisco East Bay.
And what is your blog called?
My blog is called L'Esprit Divin. A Taste of Grace is the name of the main blog. I have a number of blogs.
And what's the address for it?
A Taste of Grace at WordPress, on WordPress.
WordPress.com?
Yes.
Awesome. And what is it you write about? All different kinds of wine? Do you do wine reviews? Do you do restaurant reviews? That kind of thing?
I try and do wines that... I try and talk about wines that bring up a story, that make part of a story. I think telling a story about wine is important, as everyone is beginning to understand, you know, it's not necessarily the wine, it's the place, it's the experience that we get to share it with that make us think about the overall quality of the wine. Getting to know wine producers in the area is something also that I talk about, and I'm contemplating continuing or beginning some wine education, so I discussed that as well.
So living in San Francisco, then, that's pretty easy. You got lots of wineries around you. You're surrounded by it.
I'm in the East Bay, so the wine region that I spend the most time that I can in is actually in Livermore.
Livermore, okay. What are some of the special producers there?
Most people are familiar with Wente.
Okay.
Concannon. There's a number of small producers. Used to go there about 15, 20 years ago. There were only maybe 10 or 15. Now there's 40. I volunteer at one of the wineries and pour wines.
Ron Concannon was on the podcast a couple years ago when I was here, because they were at Walla Walla, and I interviewed him for that. Yeah. So that's good. And Wente's been around for a long time.
Very long time. They started, I believe Wente and Concannon both started in the 1840s by making wines for the missions.
Wow. Okay, so they got around Prohibition that way.
Yeah.
A lot of history there.
Yeah, it is, and it's exciting. Livermore is very local-centric, like many other places. They believe in, supporting local businesses, supporting local vineyards. So much of the fruit that they produce is either right there in Livermore, or they may get it right over the hill in Lodi, which is also another up-and-coming wine region.
It's in the Central Valley, right?
It is in the Central Valley, and Lodi is discovering its strength in its Zinfandel. It's got some late harvest Zinfandel, and they're trying to lose the image of the jug wine image that had been created back in the day.
There's a lot of space for vineyards there, I guess, eh? And they grow a lot of grapes.
They do.
Yeah.
Yep, they sure do. They got a lot of grapes, and it's more than just Gallo. There's lots of small producers in Lodi now also.
So, is this your first Wine Bloggers Conference?
It is.
And what do you expect to get from this one?
I'm here to get an education. My biggest focus right now is to get as much education as I can and determine where it can take me after that.
Awesome. Now, if I can ask you about your crown.
I'm wearing a tiara because today is my birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
I'm Doug Levy. I'm from New York City, and my blog is wineandfoodworld.com. Posts about wine, food, and travel.
All three. And you've done all three this weekend.
I've done all three this weekend and most of my life. I've been, happily, I was a journalist for a long time where I got to travel all over the place, and I like to share what I find.
And it's particularly interested in wine or food? Is there one weighted more to the other, or does it matter?
I'm probably writing more about food than wine per se, but for me, wine is an essential part of any kind of fine dining experience. So when I find a wine that my friends can buy, I want to let them know that's the one to pick.
Have you been to a Wine Bloggers Conference before?
This is my fourth time.
Fourth time, and there's only been five.
There have only been five. I missed the first year, and I was happily invited to come in year two. And I have to say that thanks to many of the people that I've met through this conference, I've learned a lot more about wine, the wine business. I have a much better understanding of the challenges that the wine companies have in selling their product. I mean, it's hard enough to make, but actually getting it onto a restaurant wine list is a challenge. Getting it into retail stores. For some of us, for those of us that aren't writing from California, many of the wines that are being poured here are not available at every retail store. So that's another whole layer of complexity that is important for bloggers to understand.
So the people who are reading their blogs might not be able to get the wine that you're talking about then?
If the person who is writing the blog doesn't factor that in.
Interesting. Are you going to be able to come to the next one in Penticton next year?
I hope so, because that's been very high on my wish list of places to visit. As long as I've been interested in wine, I have many friends in BC who have told me about the great wines. In fact, when they come visit, they usually bring a couple of bottles for me. So I know there's some fine wines coming from BC, and based on what I know of the climate, I think it's going to be very interesting to taste some of the wines that have not made it to the States yet and really see what's coming up.
Interesting. So what do you hope to get out of this weekend?
More
of the same?
This is certainly a chance for me to meet winemakers who I haven't met yet, to learn about how the latest year's harvest has turned out, what the harvest this year is going to be like. Again, living on the East Coast, I'm not at the wineries every week as it used to be when I lived on the West Coast, so I'm kind of trying to catch up on a year's worth of wine industry, wine business, wine tasting, all in a very short amount of time, and this really is a good environment to do that.
It's an excellent environment for that, isn't it? You get to, I mean, the winemakers are all around here and throughout the whole weekend.
Right. You just have to use your filter the right way, because some of the people here are very, I mean, everybody with wine here is trying to sell, but some are more heavily on the marketing side than others, and you have to see through that. Not everything that's being poured is going to be recommended, and I'm not going to like some wines that other people will. That's okay. That's what makes this so much interesting.
My name is Becca Yeamans. I'm from Charlottesville, Virginia, and my blog is The Academic Wino.
The Academic Wino.
Yes.
Do tell. Are you an academic?
I suppose, yeah. I was a perpetual student. I love learning. I love wine. And so I wanted, when I was trying to decide what kind of blog I wanted to do, I just decided to marry the two. And basically what I do is I read scientific journals, or peer-reviewed journals, rather.
How is that different? How are the peer-reviewed journals different?
Well, these journals are heavily edited by others in the academic world, and so they get really scrutinized by their methods, the scientific method, and if it's, you know, a legitimate test, and it's not just random articles that are kind of telling you about something. They're actually experiments and highly edited from others in the industry.
Is it a little more scientific then?
Absolutely. And some of the articles get a little bit more technical, just it's the nature of that particular article. But my articles span every aspect of academia, from viticulture and enology, obviously, to other things like health, medicine, economics, politics, and basically everything. And I also do some book reviews, so I get the English in there as well.
Got to have some art side to your science side, I guess.
Exactly. The only thing I don't do is I haven't, at least up to this point, I haven't tasted wine and written wine reviews, because that's not what my blog is about. I'm trying to carve a different niche, I suppose.
Do you find that's kind of been done?
It has, and we definitely need it, but I know others could probably do it better than I, so I rather work with my strong point, and that's academics and science.
So how many bloggers here do you think have master's degrees?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I can't, you know, I don't want to judge. I'd say maybe a decent chunk.
That's cool. You have a master's degree?
I do, yes, in environmental science. I have a bachelor's in biology. I've done everything from ecology, environmental science, immunology, neurology. You know, I don't mess around. I kind of do everything.
So you have all the ologies then?
Exactly. And I will probably end up doing more.
Which came first? Was your scientific part, the scientific studies that you did that spawn an interest in wine in any way?
I guess science has always been important to me. Even a little kid, I just loved doing all that, laboratory stuff and examining things in the forest. And yeah. So I guess the science came first. And I actually had this course, if you call it that, and more of a seminar in grad school where we actually just talked about articles. So we would pick an article for the week, and one person would read it, and one person would present it. And so that's kind of the basic framework behind my blog. So I took what I learned in school and applied it to the blog. Well, not just in school. I mean, the wine all came from me.
Yeah.
Though I have taken a couple of one-day courses in enology and viticulture, and I did work full-time in the wine industry for a little while, which I love, and I would definitely do again.
Would you recommend that to other people to do that?
Work in the wine industry?
Yeah.
Well, yes, but, you know, there's a lot of different factors you have to take into consideration. So if you have a true passion for wine, I'd say definitely look into it.
So how are you finding the West Coast? You're from Virginia, and how are you finding the West Coast so far?
Well, I guess it's only my second day, and I've been in the hotel pretty much, 95% of the time, but my run this morning was lovely.
Awesome. And how are the wines? Having not been to Virginia, do you find that the wines are really unique in Virginia compared to other parts of the world?
Definitely. I think you can taste, it's the terroir. You can taste huge differences. For example, there was a booth of Virginia wines that we stopped at, and tasting those wines and tasting some of these Oregon wines, you can just tell that there's some sort of difference there. I mean, granted, most of the Oregon wines are Pinots, and you don't have very many Pinots in Virginia, a couple of them. But
doesn't grow very well there?
No, not at all. It's too humid for Pinot, really. There's a couple of vineyards, Afton Mountain Vineyards. Who else? Cross Keys Vineyards. There's a couple of places that do Pinot. Afton Mountain Vineyards has done a pretty nice Pinot in the last couple of vintages.
So what grows well in Virginia, then?
Viognier for the whites and Cabernet Franc and Petit Verdot for the reds.
Interesting.
The other grapes will grow, but those are the official grapes of the state.
Mm-hmm. What's the address for your blog?
It's academicwino.com.
And you're on Twitter and Facebook?
I am. Twitter is at The Academic Wino. Facebook, if you just look for The Academic Wino, you should be able to find me.
Thank you very much for talking to us.
Well, thank you.
Jennifer Russo, California, Sacramento.
And you are showing us...
It's a new app that's coming out very soon in the Apple Store and soon on Android, and we are a pocket wine journal. So for all those moments that you've gone to restaurants and you have this great bottle of wine, and then a week later you can't remember what that wine was because you wrote it down on a note and you threw it away along the way, this now keeps it right there on your iPhone. And all the information is in the cloud, so it also the information transferred to your iPad or your Android system.
Can you take pictures of the labels as well?
Definitely. You can, as you're there drinking, you can take pictures. We have scannability, so it drops in all the pertinent information. So all you're entering at that moment is your personal notes.
Awesome.
What's nice is there's a friending capability. You can email it out to your friends or Facebook it. There is that friending capability is nice because what happens is, let's say you enjoy cabs, and I know you enjoy cabs. Well, we're friends. I can look up your wine journal and see what you're drinking and what you're enjoying. So if I'm at a restaurant, I can say, oh, this is what they're enjoying. Let's buy this. If you're not sure what, it's kind of an area where you know with other friends that enjoy wine that they have the ability to see what other friends are enjoying and try it out for themselves at restaurants.
Now, I do sell wine at a store, and I do have a lot of customers coming in saying, I had this wine once last night. It had a white label. So is this kind of the thing for them then?
Yes, okay. Definitely, because then they can just take a picture, and even if all they have time is to take the picture, it'll download it and save it. They can go back to it right in the notes.
Perfect.
They're definitely going to want to take advantage of the scannability of the barcode, because it then definitely it autofills all those pertinent areas. It also has the ability with the download of the barcode of what's retail price for that wine.
Interesting.
So you can compare and say, okay, at the restaurant it costs this, but I can go find it other places, and what's the retail price?
That's cool.
Also, in time, again, because it's a brand new app, we will have the ability, if you're somewhere and you're enjoying a wine, you can have the ability to look it up and purchase it and have different marketing abilities. We'll partner with other stores or wine vendors.
So this is available on iPhone, iPad, and
soon Android, yes.
Soon, oh, there's other phones other than iPhones?
Well, Android.
Oh, right, okay, yeah, I forgot about that. And this is available at the iTunes Store?
iTunes Store.
And how much is it?
It's $1.99.
And do you have a website?
Yes, it's pocketwinejournal.com.
Just say your name and where you're from. Allison.
It's Allison Markin from Penticton, British Columbia.
And what are you doing down this far in Portland, Oregon?
We're trying to keep a well-known secret hidden till Sunday that the Wine Bloggers Conference 2013 is coming to Penticton. So what we're doing is pouring a lot of BC wine, some bubbles, some reds, some whites, and spreading the BC wine love to all the wine bloggers here in Portland.
How's the reception been so far?
So far it's been really great. We've had a lot of people asking about our wines, a few people who've never tried Canadian wine, let alone BC wine, and a lot of wows as they try our Summerhill Pinot Noir sparkling this morning. So lots of really good positive comments.
You're going to be pouring some more BC wine over the course of the weekend?
On Sunday at the unofficial official announcement, we'll be pouring four more wines, and we'll be giving away wine as well. So we've got five more wines to go.
Well, have a good one. Enjoy the weekend.
It'll be good times.
Mr. Bob, how are you doing, Bob?
I'm fine, Luke.
All right, and where are you from, Bob?
I am from Vancouver, where you used to be from.
That's right. And what's your blog called?
2001 Bottles.
And the address?
www.2001bottles.blogspot.
This is your first conference?
It is. I've wanted to make some of the others, but I haven't been able to make it. But this time, managed to fit it in.
So what are you looking for? What are you looking to get out of this conference?
Well, I came down partially to see what it was about, because next year's up in our home ground in the Okanagan, and so lay a little groundwork, meet some people that I see online all the time.
Right on. You see a lot of people online then? Have you met a lot of people here that you've met online?
Starting to meet some of them, yeah. I've got a few that I'm looking for and managed to run into a couple of them now, so it's cool.
Generally, overall, are they shorter or taller than you think they are?
Can't say, because I don't really think about what they're going to look like before. You threw me, Luke. I'm sorry.
I try to.
And you see, I knew how tall you were, but I didn't know you had a blog.
Oh, well.
Now I will follow it. Yeah.
Cool. All right, we'll have a good time today.
I'm going to have a great time. You too.
My name's Mark Feinberg. I'm with Don Sebastiani & Sons.
All right, and what have we got here today?
So we're pouring a Don & Sons Sonoma Coast Pinot Noir, a B-side red blend out of Napa Valley, and a Crusher red blend out of Clarksburg AVA, which is just south of Sacramento and east of Napa.
Can I ask what the inspiration is for the name B-side?
B-side basically is life's appreciation of the lesser-known sides of albums. Things that people enjoy in discovery.
Now, you're the Don & Sons wine. You've given a bottle out to every single participant here at the Wine Bloggers Conference. Is there anything special with that wine that you want to talk about?
It is for us because it's actually our family wine. It's Don & Sons for Don Sebastiani & Sons. It's a beautiful Sonoma Coast Pinot. We wanted people to try and what I call discover our newest brand and our newest wine in our portfolio.
And is that the first vintage of it?
It is the first vintage. We made about 2,000 cases.
Patrick Spencer, I'm the executive director of the Cork Forest Conservation Alliance, located here in Salem, Oregon.
What is this about?
We're actually a forest conservation organization working to preserve and protect the Mediterranean cork forest.
So you don't actually produce cork then?
No, we are a nonprofit.
And what is the importance of preserving the corks? Why is it a lot of wineries are moving to screw caps now, or it seems to be. What is the benefit of using cork over screw cap?
Well, the benefit for wineries is that cork is the most sustainable and environmentally friendly forested product in the world. And sustainability, when it comes to making wine, winemakers are all about sustainability and preserving their soil and the natural beauty of their wines. And so what we want to say to the winemakers is, when you really look at how screw caps are made or plastic closures are made, it's really important to understand that sustainability doesn't stop in the vineyard. It must travel through all the way to packaging of your product.
Okay, and you've got T-shirts here with Quercus Suber written on it. What does that mean?
Quercus Suber is the botanical Latin name for the genus name for the cork oak tree, because the cork tree is actually an oak tree.
Now, if this is a technical question, because I'm really curious about this, how much energy does it take to harvest a cork versus to produce a screw cap?
Well, I'll give you an example. The cork forests will absorb 20 million tons of CO2 each year. When you look at a balance between cork producing, let's say, 2 billion cork closures and 2 billion screw caps, the number for CO2 will be negative for cork and about 82,000 tons of CO2 for screw cap.
Wow.
Plus, mining for bauxite is one of the most devastating environmentally devastating mining practices left on the planet.
It's open pit mining normally, isn't it?
It's open pit mining. People who live within a 50-mile radius of a bauxite mine can't drink their well water. Instances of infant respiratory disease and bone disease is higher near bauxite mines than anywhere else. Plus, the energy used to produce bauxite into alum and then alum into aluminum is one of the most highest energy-intensive manufacturing processes in the world. And both processes leave behind chemical substances that are highly toxic to humans and to the earth.
Well, X and Wine Biz Radio.
Wine Biz Radio, who are they?
Yeah, well, you know, a couple of guys that sit together in a sloppy studio and chuckle about wine every now and again.
So how's Kaz and Randy doing?
Kaz and Randy are great. Kaz is actually in football season right now, so we don't see him all that much anymore. He comes in hooing and hawing, and we don't exactly know what any of that means because we're pretty much drunk at that time anyways. Randy's doing film right now, so kind of a departure from radio, but it's been keeping his time kind of full on, and we're waiting for him to be done with classes.
Sounds like y'all are keeping busy.
We are keeping busy. this time of year, there's just too much to do. This season down in Napa and Sonoma right now is also harvest pretty much on us right here. Whites are coming in. Sparklings are coming in. And at this time, we're just kind of waiting, biding our time for full-on harvest, which should be by the end of September.
So you guys work in vineyards as well? Like, do you work in wineries too? Or?
Well, yeah. So Kaz owns Kaz Winery.
Okay.
And I actually am the director of sales and marketing for Titus Vineyards.
So you guys are going to be busy then. That's why there's not much Wine Biz Radio in the fall.
That's exactly why there's not much Wine Biz Radio in the fall. Yeah, if you were wondering, the secret's out.
Well, there you go then. Cool. So lots of stuff coming up for Wine Biz Radio over the next year?
We do have a lot of things coming up for Wine Biz Radio this year. I think we've got a lot of changing in programming. We're going to bring back some of the live interactive webcasting that we were doing.
Cool.
And it's just going to all takes time. We're also probably going to do some more in-studio in Sonoma because we go out over the airwaves of 91.3 on the sun in Sonoma.
Now, last time in Walla Walla, you guys had a setup here where you were getting people on and you were live streaming, you know, with Kaz and Randy there live streaming along. You're not doing that this year. Has there been some downsizing at Wine Biz Radio?
There hasn't been any downsizing at Wine Biz Radio, and they want everybody to know that they love them just the same.
Okay.
The thing is that they don't want to travel so much, and to be honest, with Randy in film school and Kaz doing football, they can't make it up here. They send me to do the dirty work.
And this is later in the year than it was in Walla Walla. It went, like, in Washington, it was in June. It was late June, I think.
Right, so different season.
So are you going to be coming up to BC then when the Wine Bloggers Conference heads north of the border next year?
I follow the Bloggers Conference wherever. That's fine. I'll be there.
So have you tried any BC wines on your Wine Biz Radio?
Well, we have had Bradley Cooper's Black Cloud, and that was delicious. Pulled that out of my cellar. Thanks, Bradley, for that bottle. And we haven't done a whole lot on Wine Biz, and we're certainly happy to try them out. We try things from all over the world, including things that aren't made from grapes.
I've been looking around for Mr. Bradley Cooper. He tends to run when he sees my microphone, though. So maybe if you see him, let me know.
Well, I will. I'll have you hide behind me and then just pop out like a little leprechaun with a microphone. He'll love it.